John chapter 8. And I have to admit I'm getting a little sad because we're just about done with the 17th chapter. And it's one of my favorites in all the Bible. And tonight I'm going to probably just do verse 24. The title of the message is When Christ Said, Father, I Will. But we'll read verse 23 because I think it links in with verse 24. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now sometimes I like to take that last phrase, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me, and then skip down and read the last phrase in verse 24. Read them together. And hast loved them as thou hast loved me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That is a remarkable truth. When you understand that we are loved by the Father as He loves the Son. And as He loved the Son while they sat alone in the solitude of eternity. When as yet creation and all of its splendor had not been brought about or spoken into existence. We were loved by God in Christ. Before the world began. How that humbles my heart tonight. To think that He loved me with an everlasting love. That He chose me in Christ. That He loved me the same way the Father. Can you even begin to imagine the love that exists by the members of the Holy Trinity? The love God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have in that sacred union. And we are part of that. And how it ought to thrill us as we consider that kind of love. Verse 24, Jesus says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. John 17:24 is really climactic. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus prays, Father, I will, with profound authority, as the second person of the sacred Trinity. Now, up to this point in this celestial discourse between the Son and His Heavenly Father, Jesus had been asking. He had been imploring. He had been offering supplications. And now He declares His authority. He declares with authority His perfect and His immutable will. Now, I don't know if this struck you like it struck me. No mere man could ever speak to God in such a way. When you go to God in prayer, do you say, Father, I will that I get this or I go there? You don't ever ask that way, do you? You say, Father, if it be your will. So how can Christ say that? I believe that we have access to the throne We can come boldly, but we have to come in humility and submission. Jesus Christ, the eternally begotten Son of God, speaks to His Father as a divine equal, with every right to declare His will. Father, I will. This is my desire. This is my will. I love what A.W. Pink said. Here for the first time in his prayer, Christ says, I will. It was a word of authority becoming him who was God as well as man. He speaks of this as his right on account of his purchase and of the covenant transactions between the Father and the Son concerning those given to him. I will comported with the authority in verse 2, which the Father has given him over all flesh and the glory into which he has entered. Or again, this I will uttered just before his death may be regarded as his testament. This was the legacy which he bequeathed to us. Heaven is ours, an inheritance left to us by Christ. The objects of Christ's divine and immutable will are the same objects of the Father's eternal and unconditional love. We are chosen in Him. We are loved by God before the world began, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. I am eternally loved by God Almighty, by the most holy, glorious, wonderful, loving, gracious, sovereign person in all the world, in all of history. We're loved by Him. And Christ's will is that all the elect sons and daughters of God who were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that they be with Him throughout all eternity, beholding the glory of His person as their mediator, as their covenant head, as the one who loved them and gave Himself for them. One day, we're going to see the one who has loved us even unto death, our Lord Jesus Christ. And what comfort there is as we contemplate the holy will of Jesus Christ and the great love that He has for us. You see, God's will, the Father's will, it'll never be thwarted, turned back. It'll never be in any way, shape, or form turned aside. You can bank on it. Whatever God has decreed and purposed, He will bring it to pass. And the same is true of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He says, Father, I will that all that You gave to Me, all that You selected, all that You chose, that they be with me, that they see me in all of my glory throughout all eternity. That will of Christ will be secured without a hitch. There will be nobody that'll be missing. Everyone included in that covenant of grace will stand before the throne of God, dressed in the spotless righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will be able to say, "Behold, I and the children which thou hast given me." They're all here. They're all accounted for. Not one of them's lost. They're all dressed in my spotless righteousness. They've been made holy by the work of the Holy Spirit. They're going to abound and rejoice in my glory throughout all eternity. This is the will of Christ. His earnest desire, His will, is that all those that the Father gave Him to redeem will be with Him, to behold His glory as the eternal ages roll on and on and on. Christ's will is never thwarted. It is always accomplished. So this verse speaks volumes about the security of God's elect in Christ Jesus. I'm secure in the Father's will. I'm secure in the will of the Son. I'm secure in the work and the will of the Holy Spirit. How wonderful that is. And a threefold cord cannot be broken. It is a thought incomprehensible to our feeble and finite intellect, to understand fully what it means to behold the glory of the Son of God, that they may behold my glory. The majesty, the excellency, the holiness of the Godhead as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. As sinners saved by grace, we may bask in the glory of Christ by faith, but only imperfectly. At our very best, man at his best state is altogether vanity. At our very best, at our heights of spiritual power, we're still hindered by an old nature. We still, at this moment, look through a glass darkly. Yet there is coming a day in which we will be privileged to behold the glory of Christ with glorified eyes as we stand in His very presence. We are promised in Isaiah 33:17, "Thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off." I believe that one day in the not too distant future, all the elect of God are going to feast their eyes upon the glory of the crucified and risen Redeemer. One day we're going to see Jesus as He is, arrayed in all of His splendor, in all of His majesty, in all of His glory. And let me guarantee you something. He's not going to look anything like the pictures that you see that people worship, that they that they adore. He's not going to look anything like that. You read Revelation 1 and you'll see just how majestic and powerful and glorious. You can't paint a picture of Jesus Christ. It's too glorious. It's beyond us. And I guarantee you, he doesn't look like some effeminate beach boy or something. He was a man. He's a God man. And we will bow before him in reverence and humility, acknowledging his greatness and his power. And when we stand before the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, it amazes me to think that the one who loved us and gave himself for us is actually going to distribute rewards for faithful service. Crowns that we, in an act of worship, will be able to throw back at his feet because it's all due to him. Does this ever get real for you? Do you ever think about standing in the presence of Jesus Christ, feasting on his glory and his power and his wonder, and be amazed that you're there with all the blood-washed throng, all the redeemed of all the ages, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." All according to Christ's will. Father, I will that everyone you have given me be with me where I am, and that all of my glory would shine forth, all of my excellency would be viewed by these precious souls that I've redeemed. It is the mediator's will that all those in him be with him where he is. How humbling. What a wonderful privilege it is to be a partaker of Christ, to be numbered among that multitude that will bask in the glory of his divine presence as the eternal ages roll. It's a thought that's too wonderful for me in my present sinful state. Yet as I meditate upon the Savior's promise, it's something that does inspire hope and joy in my heart. It moves me to worship him, to love him, and to serve him. Charles Ross, he's no kin to me, but he wrote this back in the 1800s. He said, "Ah, yes, such is his love to them that as he came from heaven to earth to save them, so he will never be at rest until he has them with him where he is. And is not this heaven its chiefest, choicest ingredient to be where Christ is? Oh, brethren, if communion with God on earth be so sweet, if the presence of God in means and ordinances be so precious, if one day in his courts is better than 1,000, what will an eternity in his immediate presence be?" Now the reason why the Father clothed Christ with superlative and resplendent glory is stated here in the latter part of verse 24. It is because the Father, has eternally loved his only begotten Son. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. What a privilege it'll be for God's elect to behold the glory of the eternally begotten Son throughout eternity. And that we're loved by the Father in the same manner in which He loves His eternally begotten Son. And it means that God's love for His people is one that has no beginning or ending. That it's eternal. Eternal as He is. Before the worlds were ever framed by His power, before anything in the material world was created, God loved us in Christ. His holy affections were set upon us. I love this truth. It makes me realize that every aspect of salvation has God as its source and substance. It's all by His sovereign grace. And how our souls should pause this evening in adoration and wonder as we think of God's eternal and unconditional love for us in spite of all He knew we would be by nature and by birth and by course of life. Praise God for His distinguishing and sovereign grace to the most unworthy of poor and helpless sinners. So thankful tonight that the Savior prayed for me and said, Father, I will. That Tom Ross, who You gave me, who I died for, be with me where I am for all eternity. Glory to God. Let's all stand.
Page number 9 in your Berea hymnal.